Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Seize this golden opportunity in the month of Ramadan to clear your misconceptions and doubts about Islam and Muslims. Come and have a date with these Islamic scholars, Sheikh Umar Dada Faiko, Faiko Islamic based scholar, and Sheikh Muhammad bin Usman, Masjid al Sahaba Kanu, at the 15th Mica Annual Ramadan Symposium with the theme The Muslim Family. Where is the DNA? Ask the Sheikhs. Under the chairmanship of Barrister Muhammad Sani Katu. Dates: 21st July 2013. Venue: The Banquet Hall, Ariwa House, Kaduna. Come and be part of a revealing and exciting question and answer session. Mica, striving in the cause of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد الهادي الأمين وآله وصحبه والتابعين وتابعيهم بإحسان إلى مجدين وبعد. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today, الحمد لله, the seventh day of the month of Ramadan 1434 Hijri, in bracket the 15th of the month of July 2013. 16th of July, yes, Allah, 16th of July 2013. If a fly enters his throat and down the throat, what is the position of his fasting? Somebody is fasting and a fly goes down. You are trying to bring it out, down it went. What is the status of my fasting? Spoiled? Not spoiled. Why? Because it is without my what? Intention. I mean, it just overpowered me, so to say. What is the ruling concerning using perfume on your body as somebody been fasting? Because the good scent goes into your nose and you inhale it. Is your fasting spoiled? I am just asking. I need an answer. If a woman is cooking good food and the soup smells nice and she keeps on inhaling it, do we say her fasting is spoiled? If somebody takes injection, to remove some pains on his body, does that spoil his fasting? These are questions I need answers at the end of the list. Think about them, pay attention to your Quran, and pay attention to these questions as well. Give answers at the end of the tafsir session. If you can recall, yesterday we answered the question on which is bigger, is it Al-Kursi or Al-Arsh? What was our answer? Al-Arsh was by far much bigger than the Kursi. Now, previously, the previous years, they used to give you what I call the proverbial what? Camel's tail. Today we shall talk briefly on one of the Sahabas. You see, trying to know the Sahabas or the Sahaba is very important. It's part of Ibadah to know these great people who helped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we want to talk briefly about one of them, known as Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hisham ibn Qusay, to the end of it, you know, was born 3 years before Hijrah. 3 years before Hijra from Makkah to Medina. When the Prophet ﷺ died, he was at the age of 15, tender age of 15, Ibn Abbas. His mother is called Lubabatu Bintul Harith. Lubabatu Bintul Harith. I said it yesterday, if you could recall. Abdullah ibn Abbas, you see, had three categories of preeminence. Number one, because of his relationship with the Prophet ﷺ. He is related to the Prophet because his father, Al-Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, the father of the Prophet Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib. So do we say they are cousin brothers? Are they? They are. Just like Ali ibn Abi Talib, if you can recall. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu had this position. Secondly, preeminence in terms of knowledge. The Prophet prayed for him, or Allah caused him to know the tafsir of the Quran well. And he said, not a single ayah will have passed without my knowledge. Even the Sahaba went to Ibn Abbas seeking for interpretation of the Quran, courtesy of the prophetic word, prayer. During the time of Umar ibn Khattab, Umar gathered people. He said, I want you to tell me the meaning of Idha Ja'a Nasrullahi Wal Fath. The Sahaba were there. Some of them were as old to be even the fathers of Ibn Abbas. Among them, Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Ibn Auf was even complaining, Umar, why should you be bringing this young man? This is the age of our son. Umar said, hey, don't look at the age, look at the knowledge. Okay, let me ask you. He said, tell me the meaning of إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَصَبِّحْ. What does it mean? They said, well, it simply means when Allah has given success to Islam, we should sing His praises. That is our knowledge. Then he turned to Ibn Abbas. Is that the meaning? He said, no. And did I tell you? Tell them that it means the death of the Prophet was approaching. La ilaha illallah. Because if Allah's success has been established and people are entering Islam in great number, that means his mission has been what? Accomplished. If that is the case, he has to go back to the Creator. That's the meaning. Because I told you, this young boy, this young man is knowledgeable. It's a compendium, like a walking Quran. That was Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas is said to be so huge, tall. If he sat, he covered the place of two people. MashaAllah. But very determined. He used to cry in the night while praying. He used to fast. You know, the biting sun of Makkah. Very heat, very hot. When the Prophet died, like I've told you, he was only 15. Ibn Abbas, at the end of his life, he lost his sight. He was blind. He lived for 56 years after the Rasulullah. The Prophet left this world when Hijra was at the 10th year of Hijra. Ibn Abbas, the 6th or 7th year of Hijra, 6 or 7 minus 10, you will have it. How long he lived? Okay. How long did he live? Plus 15 years. You know the age at which he died. Ibn Abbas is believed to be the father of the Abbasid Caliphate in Iraq. They spent 500 years ruling. When Banu al-Abbas came to an end, they went to Andalusia and established the flourishing Islamic dynasty in Spain, known as Andalus. So this is a topic that we used to do last year. I didn't do it, but we have started, inshallah, picking one Sahabi or the other to bring it to our knowledge, their importance, the indispensability of knowing them. You are living in a time where there are some crews castigating the Sahaba. That means disbelief and kufr. May Allah save our iman. Read the ayah we are progressing with. Ayah 11 in chapter number 10, Surah Yunus.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولو يعجل الله للناس الشر استعجالهم بالخير لقضي إليهم أجلهم فنذر الذين لا يرجون لقاءنا في طغيانهم يعمهون.
ولو يؤجل الله الناس الشر استعجالهم بالخير لقضي إليهم أجلهم. To the end of the verse. If Allah were to hasten, that is walaw, there is law and there is lawla in Arabic. Our teachers in Arabic language, they teach us that law is different from lawla. They say law harfu limtina' lilimtina', but lawla harfu tahaqquq litahaqquq. If I say, if you had come, you will have met me. That means you didn't come. Isn't it? If you had exercised patience, you will have succeeded. That means you didn't exercise. That is law. Law sabar, la. Law atait, la adraktin. But law la, if you had not come. Okay? If not because you've come, that means you can. That is law la. I don't know if it is clear to you. So Allah says, وَلَوْ يُعَجِّلُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ يَدْلَسِ. If Allah were to hasten the evil results against people, the way He is hastening for good things they are asking, Allah says, لَقُضِيَ إِلَيْهِمْ أَجَلُهُمْ. They will have been destroyed. Now, our scholars in the field of tafsir, like Mujahid, said the meaning of this ayah, just like somebody who would be cursing his son. He says to his son, God curse you. Allah said, if he will answer him, the son will have been destroyed. To warn you against being hasty in asking for bad things. وَلَوْ يَعْجِلُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ. If Allah were to hasten, you know, to quicken negative results, the way Allah quickens answering good prayers. Okay? People who have been what? Destroyed. That is why there is another translation for this ayah in Sahih Muslim, Hadith 1532, Hadith 1532. That is, and as well in Bukhari, Hadith 709. 2009. That the hadith of Jabir, the Prophet said, لا تدعو على أنفسكم, لا تدعو على أولادكم, لا تدعو على أموالكم. Don't pray against yourself. Don't pray against your children. Don't pray against your wealth. أموالكم. Otherwise, it coincides with the time Allah answers prayer and you are God. That's the meaning of the ayah. So please, even if your son, you know, proves to be rebellious, don't say Allah is in. No. Say Allah guide you. Don't you ever utter negative prayer on yourself, on your family, on your children. No matter how wrong they are, pray for Allah's guidance. That's the best solution. This ayah, you know, teaches a lot of things when it comes to child proper upbringing and how you conduct your behavior. Don't be abusive. Don't be abusive. Don't be castigating. Use good tongue. Even animals don't cuff animals. وَلَوْ يُعَجِّلُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ الشَّرْطِ جَعَلَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لَقُضِيَ إِلَيْهِمْ أَجَلُهُمْ بَتْ فَنَظَرُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. We leave those who will not want to meet us in their wilderness, going from one case of error and other one. يَعْمَهُونَ, in total confusion. Next ayah.
وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ الضُّرُّ دَعَانَا لِجَنْبِهِ أَوْ قَائِدًا أَوْ قَائِمًا فَلَمَّا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُ ضُرَّهُ مَرَّ كَأَنْ لَمْ يَدْعُنَا إِلَى ضُرٍّ مَسَّهُ. كذلك زجنا للمسرفين ما كانوا يعملون.
وإذا مس الإنسان الضر دعانا لجنبه أو قاعدا أو قائما. To the end of the ayah, which is ayah 12. وإذا مس الإنسان الضر, if any calamity affects man, because الضر means anything that affects you negatively, from sickness, loss of wealth, you know, even dismissal in your working place, or demotion, bad examination results. All these are forms of adhur, because they affect your feeling, isn't it? They affect your equilibrium, your balance. So adhur. But if something happens to man, da'ana li jambihi, he dutifully prays to us, oh Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah, so prayerful, so committed, because he's in difficulty. Aw qa'idan, while seated, aw qa'iman, while standing, he is so prayerful, he goes back to Allah. But falamma kashafna anhu durra, by the time we remove such a worry, if it is removed, sickness, now he is healthy. Poverty is not a millionaire, or billionaire, or septillionaire, or what any millionaire you have. In that case, what happens? Allah says, مَرَّكَ أَلَّمْ يَدْعُنَا إِلَىٰ ذُرِّ مَسَّى. He goes away as if nothing affected him negatively. You will hear him saying, no. This morning, because of my effort, I know how to train now, you know. His car is getting an accident and Allah intervened. Now he says, if not because I had gone to the driving school, I would have gone to the hereafter. This is very, very bad. Don't behave like this. Your wife is pregnant, on her knees, wanting to put to bed, in difficulty, crying, wailing, dur, oh Allah, make it easy. And she delivered, tablet, this doctor, he received his MBBS in Aqsa University, that's why. This is not good. We don't deny there are human interventions, but give hamd and shukr to Allah, first and foremost. كذلك زين للمسرفين ما كانوا يعملون. كذلك, it is in this manner, زين, it was made luring للمسرفين, the transgressors, what they used to do. This kind of bad behavior was meant to look attractive to the eunuch. It was luring, attractive, mesmerizing, captivating to them. But they are referred to as al-mustrifin. Mustrif is anybody committing excesses, committing extravagance, going beyond the limit. So don't allow yourself to be called a mustrif. إنه لا يحب المسرفين. Next ayah.
ولقد أهلكنا القرون من قبلكم لما ظلموا وجاءتكم رسلهم بالبينات وما كانوا ليؤمنوا كذلك نجزي القوم المجرمين.
ولقد أهلكنا القرون من قبلكم لما ظلموا. To the end of the verse, Allah said, "Walaqad." This waun, what function has it gotten? Is it waul ataf, waul isti'naf, waul qasam, waul mustahaba, waul ma'iyya? Who knows Arabic amongst you? Who can tell me? It has to be one of these. There is waul qasam, waun for swearing, like wallahi. There is wawul ma'iyya, five functions. There is wawun to signify new sentence. It is called wawul isti'naf, and it is there. Wawul isti'naf. For initiating a new statement. Allah says, walaqad, and lam, they say islam al-qasr. La. Qat suggests what emphasis? Qat. Let's say قَدْ جِئِتُ, meaning, oh, definitely I came. قَدْ قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ. So there is لَام, there is قَدْ. Two emphases to suggest, yes, the statement is definitely, you can't argue it. You can't argue, you can deny it. You can argue against it and you cannot deny it. وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكَنَا الْقُرُونَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Most certainly, we destroyed before you generation. In Quran, Al-Qurun is the plural form of Al-Qarn. Qarn means a time at which a people lived. Qarn. You can say generations, okay? But in Arabic, Qarn means 100 years. 100 years. That is Qarn. Century. But here it means the people that lived before. Allah said, we destroyed them. Ad, Thamud, people of Pharaoh, isn't it? They were all Qurun. So you Meccans, who are you? That's the meaning. وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكْنَا الْقُرُونَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَمَّا ظَلَمُوا. For nothing? They were destroyed? No. لَمَّا when ظَلَمُوا, they committed transgression. They went beyond Allah's limit. When they wronged themselves, that is dhalam. وَجَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَةِ. Their messengers did go to them, did come to them. وَمَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا. Well, it was not for them to believe. Because their hearts were given to disbelief. كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْقَوْمَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. It is like this. We reward or we treat criminally minded people. Because al-mujrim is the one that is criminally minded. He is given to the commitment of crimes. Mujrim one. Mujrimun plural. Mujriman two. Mujrimatun female, criminal. So they are criminal, so we destroy them. The ayah is saying, if we had destroyed them, you Meccans could not be any better. We can easily destroy you as well. Okay? Next ayah.
ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ خَلَائِفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ لِنَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ.
ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ خَلَائِفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ لِنَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. Thumma harful aqaf. It is a letter implying succession in any contextual arrangement of a sentence. Thumma, then, subsequently, ja'alnakum khala'ifa, we appointed you, khala'ifa, as viceroy. Who is a viceroy? Somebody coming later to take the place of a predecessor. We are khala'if of our fathers who lived in Kaduna for years back. Our sons and children are going to be khala'if to us, succession until the world comes to an end. Is that clear? وَثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ خَلَفِ الْأَرْضِ, on the face of the earth, مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ, after them. لِنَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ, so that we look at the way you behave. لا إله إلا الله. Look at the ayah. لِنَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ, so that we will watch you, the way you act, the way you behave, so that you are going to be rewarded accordingly. That means Allah looks at you in each and every given moment, during rainfall, okay, during harvest, during your sleeping, in any situation, Allah looks at you. So be careful of His watch. May Allah give us the spirit of handling ourselves properly in such a way, a manner that will be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next ayah.
وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا بِقُرْآنٍ غَيْرِ هَذَا أَوْ بَدِّلْهُ قُلْ مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أُبَدِّلَهُ مِنْ تِلْقَاءِ نَفْسِي إِنَ اتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ إِنْ عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ
وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَ نَأْتِ بِقُرْآنٍ غَيْرِ هَذَا أَوْ بَدِّلْهُ. الله says, وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا, if our revelations, our verses were rihah, we are read, we are recited unto them. Who are these them? Who are they? Who are they? وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ, when our clear signs, our clear verses were recited to them, unto them, I'm asking, who are these them? Mushrikun. This pronoun, them, is it subjective or objective pronoun? If I may ask you in English language, is it objective? Beautiful, because it's the object. So if our verse is very clear, we are read onto them, very clear. قَالَ الَّذِينَ أَدْلْقَاءَنَا, those who would not like to meet us, those who wouldn't have the faith wanting to meet us, to die, to meet Allah, they will be telling the Prophet sarcastically, إِتِ بِقُرْآنٍ غَيْرِ هَذَا, bring another Quran, not this one. Okay, what is the fault of this one? أَوْ بَدِّلْهُ, or bring in its place a substitute. بَدِّلْهُ, from بَدَّلَ, you بَدِّلُ what? تَبْدِيلًا. Then who?
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Seize this golden opportunity in the month of Ramadan to clear your misconceptions and doubts about Islam and Muslims. Come and have a date with these Islamic scholars, Sheikh Umar Dada Faiku, Faiku Islamic based scholar, and Sheikh Muhammad bin Usman, Masjid al Sahaba Kanu, at the 15th Mica Annual Ramadan Symposium with the theme, The Muslim Family. Where is the DNA? Ask the Sheikhs. Under the chairmanship of Barrister Muhammad Sani Katu. Dates: 21st July 2013. Venue: the Banquet Hall, Ariwa House, Kaduna. Come and be part of a revealing and exciting question and answer session. Micah, striving in the cause of Allah.
Qul, tell them. Whenever you hear qul in the Quran, the ulama call it what? Uslub al-talqin. Uslub al-talqin. It is a method where Allah commands the Prophet, say, say. How many quls in Quran do you have? How many? Qul huwallahu ahad. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Qul. How many? Can somebody do assignment tomorrow? To bring us how many quls in Quran? From Baqarah to Nasi? It's a huge assignment anyway. Very many. That's the best way to escape it. There are very many. That's okay. Okay. Allah says, "Qul, tell them, مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أُبَدِّلَهُ مِنْ تِلْقَاءِ نَفْسِي." It's not beseeching me to change the Quran from my own urge, from my own fault, out of my whims and caprices. I cannot effect any change. That if I do it, will be negatively consequential on me. In attabi'u, all I follow, illa ma yuha ilay, is that which was revealed unto me. Pass off. Mine is to obey the revelations handed down unto me by Allah the Almighty. You too are commanded to behave in this manner. That's why the ulama are saying, you are commanded to obey, not to fabricate and concoct and initiate. So anybody committing bid'ah and bid'atic practices is going against this clear eye. Alaykum bil-ittiba' la bil-ibtida'. The ulama say, alaykum bil-ittiba'i la bil-ibtida'i. Look at it. Ittiba'. Ibtida', all ending with Hamza, no, with Aynu. You are commanded to do ittiba', following. Not ibtida', concocting, fabricating, initiating, introducing new things. Because any bid'ah man is the cause of Muslim trouble. If you leave Islam the way it was taught by the Prophet, you will be in peace, not in peace, in tranquility. So, mark you, maintain the true teaching of Muhammadul Mustafa. If you want to meet Allah in peace, one scholar says, "Ittabi'u faqad kufitu." Just obey. Things have been done on your behalf. But there is analysis, understanding, and the like. But you bring something new. Example: after prayer, 10 salat on the Prophet. This is bid'ah. It is bid'atic and not sunnatic. Somebody dies, there is going to be fida'u. Fida'u is an abuse. It's an insult. We keep on saying this to remind all of us. If anybody does fida'u, it's insulting the disease now, the day. A woman, her husband is dead, there are a lot of bid'atic practices in Hausaland, another part. That the woman should not walk strongly in the house, otherwise you will be saying, "Hey, you are marching on me." This is facetious. There are many things like this. So alaykum bittiba' la bittida'. And you should understand there is difference between this and analogical deduction, analysis when it comes to knowledge. Don't concoct, don't introduce. Is that clear? So, in that tabi'u illa ma yuha ilay. All I obey is that which was revealed unto me. Inni akhaf in asaytu rabbi azab yawmin azim. Oh, I fear. If I ever disobey my Lord, I fear azab, the punishment of a great day. That is Qiyamah. Next verse.
قُلْ لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا تَلَوْتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا أَدْرَاكُمْ بِهِ فقد لبثت فيكم أمرا من قبلي أفلا تعقلون.
قل لو شاء الله ما تلوته عليكم ولا أدراكم به فقد لبثت فيكم عمرا. To the end of it. قل tell them يا رسول الله لو شاء الله if Allah had willed. Had Allah willed, had Allah wished, that is, law shah Allah, ma talawtuhu alaykum, I wouldn't have read it on to you. Yeah. If Allah had willed, you wouldn't have sent me. You wouldn't have even revealed the book. I wouldn't have taken the trouble reading it on to you. But Allah has decided that He's going to reveal, and He revealed it. I will be His messenger, I am one, and I read it on to you. If Allah had willed, I wouldn't have rehearsed it unto you. Ma talawtuhu, this who refers to? Refers to Quran, yeah. I wouldn't have recited it, that it refers to the Quran. Alaykum unto you. Wala adrakum bi, I wouldn't have even taught you it. Because adrakum from dara yadri wa ma adrak, I wouldn't have caused you to know anything part of it or thereof. Because faqad labithtu fikum umara, I had lived amongst you for many years before this time. Just at the minute, faqad labithtu fikum, I lived amongst you for many years. How many years before he was given? How many years? How many years? How many years? 40 years. I am saying, at what age was the Prophet given divine prophethood? So you are saying, I lived amongst you. I have never spoken about any revelation. Just one day. So why do you deny me? If I had will, I would have been talking to you about this. That is, فَقَدْ لَبِثْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمَرًا. Umara, many years. And you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as you all know, was born what? Posthumously. You know posthumously? If I ask you, who is a posthumous child? Any child born after the death of his father, he says posthumous. Posthumous award. Any award given to somebody after his death. Posthumous marriage. A lady that her husband died, she married later. Is posthumous what? Marriage. Like this. So the Prophet Muhammad was born posthumously. Now he grew up an orphan. Ladies came from villages to Mecca according to the culture of the olden days. I used to come to the city looking for children, infants for breastfeeding based on salary to be given to them. They went around looking for children. When they came across Muhammad, they said, no, we can't take him. No father, who is going to pay me? They all refused him. Allahu Akbar. Only one lucky lady. Who is that? Who is that? Khadija bint Abi Zu'ayb As-Sa'diyya. From the Sa'd clan, outside Makkah, on the way going to Medina, living in a remote area of that terrain. She came on the back of hugely emaciated animal, very, very lean on account of hunger. She told her husband, okay, I looked for boys, I couldn't get one, only one orphan, his name is Muhammad. I can't take him. Later she said, well, I wouldn't like to go back empty-handed. Will you allow me to go and take him? Let's go and take him casually. They didn't know what they were picking. And they picked him and they put the blessings upon blessings upon blessings. والله غالب على امره ولكن اكثر الناس لا يعلمون. So she took Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم on their way to the Sa'd clan. You know what happened. She said, I put him on the back of my she donkey. And the donkey was galloping because it was lean and emaciated on account of hunger. It even couldn't go. But no sooner had I put Muhammad on the back of the donkey, it began to move quickly. It even went beyond my friend and said, hey Halima, wait for us. What happened? Your animal was left behind. Now you are leaving us behind. Something must have happened with you. That is the barakah of Muhammad al-Mustafa. So in short, the Sa'd clan became something new. They became the talk of the town, the talk of the city, the talk of the tribe. That is why it is very, very important to go and adopt a child in the motherless baby song. But do we do it? For the sake of Allah, do we do it? How many orphanages do we have in Kaduna, in Kano, in Katsina, in Lagos, in Ibadan, in Oshogbo, in Maiduguri, across the nation, for example? Why don't we cultivate the habit of going and adopt children? We leave them at the mercy of some non-Muslims, going there for their evangelical activities. It is our